Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Oh, such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 40% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 40% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
All right, hour number two. What's happening? Tiki and Tierney Show, CBS Sports Radio. No TV tomorrow, Teak. We're slumming it, man. Just old school radio and all great affiliates around the country, 150 plus. Of course, social media, Twitter, Tiki and Tierney, Instagram as well, YouTube.com/Tiki and Tierney. We're inside of our studio, Lower Manhattan on the west side, the Rocket Mortgage Studio. When you need cash out of your home, but a simple way to get it, Rocket can. LaMelo, interesting take. LaMelo Ball, interesting take that I think he might want to take back, depending upon what happens the next year or so with the Hornets. We'll tell you what that means. Bobby Huggins, Huggy, tap him. Tap the brakes, dude. I love Bobby. But this nonsense about changing the NCAA tournament, not having it, we'll discuss that. And we'll get back to the NBA, which is on fire out of the chute. And it always is. It's just great drama. The Simmons stuff is not yet resolved. You know what, Tink? This will be fun. We watched her for years on ESPN. Always breaking news. I mean, she is an information getter with a nice, friendly, good delivery as well. She's now part of the family. CBS Sports HQ NFL Insider. That would be Jacinta Anderson. Jacinta, Tiki, and Tierney, how you doing today? Welcome to the show.
What's up, gentlemen? How are you? Thank you for having me.
Yeah, do you like the new company, new real estate? You fitting in?
Yes,
you okay?
I definitely do. I've definitely been very welcoming. I appreciate everybody's, you know, spirit and, you know, doing multiple things with multiple people. So I appreciate being on y'all's show. So thank you for having me.
Oh, of course. Yeah, yeah. No doubt.
No, we're excited to have this conversation.
Yeah, but and I said it before when I introduced you. I mean, obviously you have great sources, well-sourced and great info, but I always thought you emitted nice energy on the air. So it's great to have you. Let's get into a good conversation here. Yeah, I mean, listen, I mean, depending upon what hour it is, Jacinta, we're hearing different stuff with the Texans. Who knows if this thing gets resolved anytime soon? But first, we heard he might get traded by the end of the week, and then as a three-team, what do you know about what the Texans are thinking and what they might be inclined to do as of now with Deshaun Watson?
So as of last night, when I reached out to a source who would have information on the situation, I was told, you know, nothing new as far as something being substantively imminent, and that point was reiterated this morning. I know what report you're referring to out of the Houston Chronicle that a few days ago had said that something could happen this week. Obviously, we are midday through Thursday, and, you know, the trade deadline is 12 days away. One of the things that has been a consistent point with, you know, people that I have spoken to that are obviously around this story and are on the periphery of the story is the owners and the front office staff that have been involved in these conversations with the Houston Texans. Obviously, the Dolphins, at times even the Eagles brass has been the desire to receive more clarity on his legal situation. And as of 2-3 days ago, and I had also reported this, that there was no date set as far as the civil depositions in his case. There was maybe thought that was going to happen about a week and a half ago, but the problem is that Deshaun Watson's attorney is involved in another trial, and then you don't have the criminal case set for as far as presenting that in front of a grand jury. So what that means is that as of right now, the best path for clarity is likely through any potential civil settlement. And most likely that means that any owner who co-signs on a trade between now and then, assuming that that, you know, for sure happens, would likely be doing that without any clarity and definitely no full adjudication in this case.
Yeah. And what about the NFL, Josina? Because, I mean, they haven't said anything. We are on the assumption that they're kind of just waiting till it's imminent that he's going to play to put him on the commissioner's exempt list. But it doesn't even seem like that's the case. What's the NFL waiting for, or are they not going to do anything?
Well, the last I had heard 2 weeks ago, though I haven't heard anything since that conversation, the NFL has been dealing with 650,000 emails, that controversy.
Good point. Good point.
When I have asked for more clarity on that, I've been told folks are up in their neck, so fine, whichever, as long as they get back to me soon. But the last thing I had heard was that, you know, there was a desire to actually not have Deshaun Watson on the exempt list, and that, you know, there may be an understanding that he was not going to play this season, to which at that time my answer was, well, obviously it's easy now for him not to play because he doesn't want to play. So that hasn't forced them to put him on the exempt list, because contrary to Adrian Peterson and all these other guys that were going through Ezekiel Elliott, I mean, Ben Roethlisberger, whoever you want to name, they obviously wanted to be with their respective teams. But that situation changes when he goes to a different team.
Yeah.
So I'm not entirely too sure that he actually would get put on the exempt list, but I do think that there are players out there who would certainly have a good beef with the league if he was not put on the exempt list, to which, you know, my source didn't really have a good answer when it comes to that. So the last thing I would just say to that really quickly is, one thing that has been consistent in those conversations is the league's desire to not want to act in advance of an official word from somebody on the case. And what I mean by that is, every time I hear, they always say, we learned from the past. Don't want to have any sort of discipline or any sort of, you know, statement from the league with regards to discipline before there's an official word.
Yeah.
So that has always been consistent every time. And that's why he was not, you know, forced to be put on the exempt list. But it also made it easier because he didn't want to play. But that has been a consistent theme every time I've been on the conversation.
Okay. We're talking to our new CBS teammate here, and it's good to have her in the fam. Josina Anderson, CBS Sports HQ NFL insider, bouncing around some good topics, obviously, with us here on Tiki and Tierney.
Yeah, one of those guys that's associated, even if just by being potentially replaced, is Tua Tagovailoa. Now, I'm of two minds with Tua down in Miami, and I don't know what the thinking is of the organization, but he's only in his second year. Usually quarterbacks, we start evaluating to the point where we want to move on from them in year three. It accelerated with Tua, and part of his struggles can be blamed on his hip, an unstable, you know, offensive coordinator situation down there. I think they've been through at least three, maybe even more. I know they have a joint situation going on right now. What's the consensus on Tua, if there is one, not just in Miami, but around the league? What are they saying about him? He was so great in college, but now it looks like he might be on the outside of somewhere.
Well, the last time I checked in, what I was hearing was that there are people amongst the Dolphins brass who, you know, want to get Deshaun Watson, and that the trepidation has rested at the legs, hands of the owner, Mr. Ross, with respect to not having that full clarity. Obviously, it's the owners that ultimately have to put that say. Now, as far as I understand, and you can probably tell me this better with respect to the, you know, Florida faithful, is that there is a Tua beehive.
Yeah.
People who feel, you know, who are Tua supporters. So I don't think that, based on that information that I hear, that it would be good to have, you know, both on the roster, right?
Yeah.
That you kind of have to make a decision with either or which way you're going. And when you're evaluating Deshaun, even though he has these, definitely strong situations that you have to consider, what you can say about Deshaun Watson is eventually it will be done.
Yeah.
Eventually it will be done. And so is that worth what you're thinking as far as when you're evaluating your ROI, your return on investment? Okay, maybe I got to deal with this for another year and a half, but after that, we've got a quarterback that maybe can play as long as Tom Brady.
Yeah,
that's a good point.
You know, Justina, we're at the point now, and everybody's cranking out the articles. This guy's on the hot seat. Oh, a couple of flames bursting off this scene. Look out, buddy. Watch your back. I mean, when you start to get the middle of October and teams are languishing in the basement and, you know, young players aren't developing, now the rumblings come. Can you differentiate between what you think is reckless and what you think might be, the early stages of a coach really, truly being on the hot seat? What situations would you point to that's where you would say, yeah, that guy needs to have a good month in November or?
Well, Chicago, I think, is always like that, you know, with respect to, you know, just with everything that's been going on before with Nagy, with everything that's been going on with Pace and the general manager, and there being a lot of heat even on the GM in particular with having to figure out that quarterback situation. And kudos to Pace for going really hard after Russell Wilson. It just, you know, didn't work out. And I think buying themselves some time with Fields, but as you know, Chicago I wouldn't say it's as much of a hot stove as Philadelphia can.
Uh-huh.
But certainly, I've worked in that market. I've covered the Bears. I've been there. I don't think that patience is, you know, very, very, very long. So I think that he would be somebody that I would mention. Who else would come to mind with respect to...
What about Fangio in Denver? Wins the first three, loses three. You know, it just seems like they're on a treadmill. And I'm not saying he's not a good coach. I've got a lot of respect for Vic. But, you know, they still don't have the quarterback. To me, that seems like a situation that could go off the rails, maybe even beginning tonight. Would that be fair?
Well, definitely I've called this week, particularly for the Browns, a crossroad week for sure. This can, you know, go either way for either team. I mean, I was just doing Will Brinson's show. We were just talking about, geez, you know, what if Odell does play and then he has a big game with Case Keenum? What's really going to happen in Cleveland radio tomorrow if that were to happen? But and not saying that that's likely, but I hear what you're saying with Vic. First of all, I would say this in Denver. One, you know, the quarterback situation is not Vic's fault. You can have a broader conversation with respect to John Elway and the selections that have happened at quarterback even before Vic Fangio got there. So
yeah,
that's
fair.
Number one. Number two, I would say even outside of just the coach and what may be an interesting contemplation for them is that if the Broncos lose tonight, and again, if they have another loss in advance of the trade deadline, do you even consider looking at Vaughn's situation and moving on from Vaughn? I think that would be a very... not saying that they should, not saying that Vaughn is not, you know, a beast of a player, but I'm just saying if the season looks like it's going a different direction, I think it behooves a general manager to look over the entire roster and what's best for the situation and, quite frankly, what's best for Denver. He's been a key keg for them, learning from Peyton Manning. When Peyton Manning came there, showed him how to even be a bigger leader than he is right now. You know, with that organization and potentially doing right brand. That's just an idea. I'm not saying it's coming from sources, but I think it's something that they for sure should look at if they continue to lose.
Yeah.
But just with respect to your question, I definitely think it's a situation that you have to look at. I just think the counterpoint to that is that they've just had so much upheaval with, you know, just kind of changing coaches and changing mm-hmm. staff and the quarterback situation not being stable, that it doesn't help their young, you know, quarterback there anyway. And who knows if, you know, Teddy Bridgewater would still be there. But they just had a lot of change. And at some point, the Broncos used to be like, your blue ribbon team. And
yeah.
It's just a lot of change that has kind of taken them off that war, so to speak.
Yeah, no, same thing happened with the Giants. My Giants, the same thing. You just, once they change consistently, it's hard to get off that change train a little bit. You talked about the interesting conundrum that the Browns will be in if Case Keenum mm-hmm. balls tonight. What is the latest on Baker's shoulder? Because what we're hearing is that he's going to need surgery at some point. I mean, how many games are we expecting he could miss? Not just tonight, but going forward. Is this going to be a recurring issue?
Well, he does have the torn labrum and the non-throwing shoulder on the left side. Even before people were talking about surgery, I had tweeted out yesterday and said that I'm told he's dealing with something beyond the tear. I would specify that here, but I would be violating my conversation with the source. I'm not going to do that. But then consequently, after I tweeted that, now people are also talking about, you know, the surgery aspect. I think the biggest thing right now with Baker is his pain toleration and how much he's going to consider the medical advice he's already been given. And that includes before any of this was even reported. I think that Baker Mayfield has a lot of reasons to want to keep playing. One, because it's not the throwing shoulder, it allows him to kind of, you know, shrug it off a little bit more. But two, just to kind of underline this, he got his fifth-year option activated back in April.
Mm-hmm.
So next year he's guaranteed his $18 million in 2022. But he has not consummated the contract extension talks. And quite frankly, neither has Lamar Jackson. But there are quarterbacks and first-round picks like Eric Fisher and Patrick Mahomes who did it, you know, going into their fourth year. So if he's not on the field and he's not playing and obviously not healthy and being able to contribute to the team, his likelihood to earn that, especially having that secure prior to the fifth season, goes down tremendously. And yep. I know he knows that. Mm-hmm. And I know he knows that. So he has reasons to want to continue to tell you the Browns that he can do it. And matter of fact, a source told me that he and Nick Chubb had to be told, basically, sit your you know what's down because you're not playing tonight.
Wow, so. They had to step in. But here's the thing. I mean, I get it. He's got to prove, you know, he's got to get that big bag, and he hasn't gotten it yet. But it could almost be worse if he fights his way in the lineup, but he plays poorly, and you've got, you know, a month worth of, you know, 197 yards and 59% mm-hmm. completion percentage games and a couple of picks. That might be held against him more than the injury down the road when it comes time to negotiate, maybe.
And it's hard, though, because on one hand, it's like you don't play. You want to play because you're a competitor.
Oh, yeah.
Two, you kind of know what the narrative is out there. Three, you know, you're getting $18 million next year.
Yeah.
But, you know, there could be a big swing in what, you know, the value is of your contract if you're not playing. I mean, we're talking about a lot of money.
No doubt.
Right.
Generational stuff. Jocena, let us hit you with this last one. We're talking to Jocena Anderson, CBS Sports, HQ NFL Insider, here on Tiki and Tierney. I think many of us, certainly the two guys in this room, felt good for the Raiders this past weekend. A galvanizing win. You know, I don't know if they won because of this newfound camaraderie or they just have a decent roster or a little bit of both. But is it like the emotions inside of the Raiders organization, have they been quelled? Is it still a little volatile? Like, give us a sense of what the locker room is thinking about what went down. What do you have there?
So when everything was going down prior to KJ Wright going on the record with me in the interview that I did with him, I was reporting and telling people that I wasn't hearing much ire with the situation that, you know, initially came out in the first email that was illuminated with what he had, you know, written about DeMaurice Smith. The first response that I got was, you know, people just didn't feel like it was as bad as it, you know, should be characterized with regards to it being, you know, a racial trope or racially insensitive. Because what I was hearing from players is that, you know, they were really going off of the coach that they had interacted with and also just focusing on football more so and just moving to the next, you know, game. But then when the New York Times article dropped and other things had, you know, come to light, and a lot of players, some I was on the phone with, was finding out for me. But, you know, the situation, you know, changed in terms of, I would say, understanding the gravity of it more. But I would have to say that I didn't hear the feelings change towards Gruden. That's something that I can necessarily explain. I can just tell you what I hear. And so then after that, you know, KJ came on the record with me as one of the players that, you know, was courageous enough to speak. And instead of really talking so much about the things that Gruden said that were clearly offensive to a lot of different people and groups, he wanted to speak more about challenging people to just think to themselves about cancel culture and where, you know, the topic of, you know, forgiveness and allowing people to learn from their mistake enters. And he was supportive of Gruden, you know, being welcomed back into the NFL. And also, you know, doing that if he, you know, gave an authentic apology and showing contrition. So that was his, you know, feeling. And I would have to say that based on just talking to players that, you know, that was the sense that I got. So the one thing they did say is that they wished that he would have given a direct apology before he left.
Interesting.
I did hear that.
Gotcha. Yeah. Interesting. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's a lot of stuff to sort through. A lot of information, but that's why we have you. That's why Port's paying you the big bucks, girl.
I really appreciate that. Yeah, it's a lot, it's always a lot going on, but guys, I appreciate you having me on your show, and you know, it'll so many angles to watch tonight in the Thursday night football game, including Von Miller's matchup against the offensive tackle.
We're excited to have you on the show and excited to have you in the family. Good job today.
Thank you
very much.
Oh, thank you guys. You too.
There you go. She's money. It was good. A lot of info. All right, coming up, LaMelo Ball and Charlotte. They looked good last night. But it's Melo's comments before the game that really has the fan base buzzing. We'll get to that next. Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Oh, such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, a Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 40% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 40% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
All right, Sunday is another NFL on CBS doubleheader. Some early matchups. The Chiefs and the Titans hook up. Bengals, Ravens later on. NFC matchup between Justin Fields, the rookie quarterback in Chicago, taking on Tom Brady, the GOAT, and the Bucks. It all begins with the NFL today at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific Sunday. The NFL is on CBS. All right, next segment. You know, I understand that there's, by some, this incessant need to try to recreate the wheel. And sometimes it's certainly applicable. Many times it is not. Bobby Huggins, don't like this latest suggestion. We're going to get on, and we like Huggy Bear. We've had him on the show. Terrific coach. Always fun to watch the Mountaineers. You know, before that, fun to watch the Bearcats. But I do not like what he dropped about a recalibration of the NCAA Big Dance, which, by the way, is one of our greatest treasures as sporting fans. Bobby trying to thwart that. We'll tell you exactly how. And then at 5 Eastern, 2 Pacific, the NBA season popped off last night. The Garden was on fire, as was LaMelo Ball. And we get to that right now. This is pretty interesting. So, first of all, if you are buying stock in a single NBA player, LaMelo Ball is that player that you want to buy that stock in.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's as low as it's going to be for the next 10 years, maybe more. Quite frankly, the time to really get on LaMelo was last year.
Yeah.
If you really watched him play before he got hurt, you knew that, woof, they nailed the pick, and he is a superstar. And I'll throw that word around freely. He is a superstar in the making. And he also seems to have a mindset that I know both you and I will appreciate from an old school point of view. Let me read you something, Teague. You ready?
Yep.
So he told this to The Athletic before the game last night. Quote, it's good. Quote, I just feel like I still kind of got that mentality that they had back in the day, said Ball. Even with the switching teams and stuff, they never used to do that. You go to one team, you stay there. You're supposed to just go to a team and build from there, the reigning rookie of the year continued. I feel like that's how it should be, especially when you're a high pick too, most likely going to a team that wasn't as good, so you try to make them better. I feel like that's the whole process right there.
Mm-hmm.
End quote.
And he's not wrong.
That is money. I love it. It's awesome. The only problem is he might lament those words in a couple of years.
Yeah, maybe he will, but it doesn't mean that he's not, at least his mind's not in the right, it doesn't mean that his mind is not in the right spot. He's only 20 years old, and maybe because his brother's been around for a couple of more years, he has a perspective on this. But he wants to be loyal, which is rare in the NBA, especially if a team stinks, you know, for a couple of seasons and you don't feel like they're doing enough with talent around you. And as I look at the Hornets roster right now, it's just there's not a ton of talent on the team.
I think it's better than you think. Go ahead.
There's players here, but I mean, it doesn't jump off the page.
Go ahead, read through some names.
Right, Mason Plumlee.
Okay, I'm not the easy. It does absolutely nothing. For
exactly.
Me, you start with that name. I can't argue.
He's 31 years old. Yeah. And he's like,
we know who he is.
Yeah,
he's a grinder, a good teammate, but that's where it ends.
Kelly Oubre Jr.
It's okay.
He's okay.
He's okay. Bouncing around a little bit, but
exactly.
He's okay.
He's okay, but it's not inspiring.
No, no, no. That one's not inspiring.
He's got a star next to me.
I agree with that.
Gordon Haywood.
Okay.
I actually like Gordon.
He's a good player.
I like him because he's smart. But he feels older than his 31 years tell you. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
I feel like he's 35, 34, 35. He's only 31, and he missed a year. So I don't know. I think he's a good vet to have on a team, but he's starting for you right now.
Mm-hmm.
If you in Charlotte. And then Miles Bridges is the other starter. Ish Smith, PJ Washington, some of these other guys who are, you know, maybe they grow into certain, I mean, not Ish because he's 33 years old, but I look at the roster and it's just not like, it doesn't scream at me, you guys are going to be really good this year. But I think LaMelo has the right mindset, which will create maybe, I'm not going to say definitely, but create a destination of Charlotte. And that's something that I've never even considered, you know, for the last a decade.
Mm-hmm.
Charlotte's a destination for free agents to go to. No, it's not.
I don't think you say a decade. I don't think it's ever been that. They drafted Larry Johnson. They drafted Alonzo Mourning.
Great point.
I mean, did they draft Muggsy? I'm pretty sure they drafted Muggsy out of Wake Forest.
Like,
I believe they did.
Yeah, I feel like they did.
But
you get my point.
Yeah,
like,
no,
it's never been a destination. But if
LaMelo,
who won Rookie of the Year last year, you're right. He only played how many games did he play last season? He only played, 31 games. 51 games. You know, started 31. 51 games he played last year before he got injured. But still, if he turns into this guy that is a star, superstar, and only getting better, he's only 20 again. I reiterate that. It maybe Charlotte becomes a place that people want to go to. I mean, you got a great owner, at least in theory, right? You have it's a great location. Where Charlotte is, and so maybe. So we'll see.
He is, he's rare. By the way, I was wrong. Pardon me. Muggsy was what, 2 years with the Bullets? They drafted him. That's right. He was with Manute, but wasn't he with Manute? He was with Manute.
Yeah, I kind of remember that.
Now I just take people on this winding road through
the
80s.
But I do remember seeing them together.
With Manute, right?
I'll check on that. I do remember seeing a picture of him. I guess he got switched onto Manute at one point.
Yeah, yeah.
And he just like up to his ankle.
Oh, my God, Manute Bol. Rest in peace, Manute Bol. He died early, unfortunately. All right, so I think that Bol is going to be – I think he's going to be – let me see. I'm really try because he started so young. I'm just going to put it out there. I think he's going to be a Hall of Famer. I think he's going to be that good.
Wow, that's early.
Yeah, it's early, but that's okay. I mean, I'm pretty comfortable doing it with basketball. Football is ridiculous. Baseball is tough. I really look at him as, first of all, he's got incredible range, and he's got the onions to take shots from anywhere. So you just know it's a matter of time before he is throwing, like Paul Pierce, even though he's a different player than Paul Pierce, you know, buzzer-beating daggers, and the Hornets are all jumping on him because he just won the game at the Horn. I think he's going to be that good. He's wired in a way because he saw his brother go through it, because his pops pushed him,
yep,
because he played with grown men in Australia. Like, he seems very undaunted, and not that I worry, because you can always take back your words, but let's just see where the franchise is in a couple of years. You know, if he's nowhere near sniffing a chip, does he get a little antsy? I'm sure Anthony Davis thought he'd be in New Orleans for his whole career.
I wonder if he worries about that though. Yet, you know what I mean? And that's why he feels comfortable saying that.
He's probably still worried about getting paid. Let's be honest.
Of course,
he's still about the money, the sneaker.
That's right. Look, he was a number three pick, so he was paid. But he's not paid. He's not making like that crazy $35 to $40 million a year yet. And if he gets to that point, and then you know he's financially secure forever and generations, and then he's on a bad team, that's when you start to say this is not working for me, and I want to go elsewhere. But maybe not. Maybe he stays true to what he's saying now at 20 years old. If he is, it's maturity beyond his ages, that's for sure.
You know, I'm looking at the somewhat recent list of third overall picks, right? And it's kind of a mixed bag. I mean, obviously somebody like Grant Hill, phenomenal. Carmelo's had a great career. James Harden, obviously. But look at this. So you have Otto Porter, you know, Enes Kanter, Derek Favors, O.J. Mayo, Adam Morrison from Gonzaga, Ben Gordon from UConn, Mike Dunleavy was a bust in the NBA, Darius Miles, I think he just got arrested, Darius Miles, for some sort of fraud with the union or something, right? So I guess he's not doing the podcast with our boy Q Rich anymore. No. I like those guys. I love too. Q Rich. I don't know Darius. I know Q, but I like their podcast. Man, you know, the question, though, is, or more like, not even more of a statement, I believe he will prove to be an outlier in terms of that mindset. Like, I don't think that what he espoused last night before the game is something that permeates the minds of a lot of young players. I think young players enter the league now and they see that it's fairly volatile in terms of player movement. They see somebody like Ben Simmons forcing his way out of Philly.
Yep.
They see other players before them, and they, you know, in a lot of ways, they think because they can determine where they play. He seems to be really locked in with MJ. That's awesome.
I mean, if he
I like it. Good for him.
It's a good person, a good legend to be associated with, that's for sure.
Well, up until now, it hasn't been because he's been a horrendous, chooser, if you will, of talent.
Yeah.
I mean, he's... Jordan is not drafted incredibly well out there. He's been there a while,
too. That's a good point.
You know, it's not like he's been there 2 years. When did Jordan take over? Jordan's been there at least. I mean, I got to say, you know, time sometimes gets mangled over. I'm going to say Jordan's been there at least 12 years. I mean, 2010. There you go. Boom. Basically bingo. All right, coming up. Bobby Huggins been around the game for a long time. We like Huggy Bear. We don't like what he said. You might. We don't. We'll tell you what he said next. Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
All right, take in Tierney, CBS Sports Radio. Now, this has me revved up here. I really wish that we would have got, I guess he didn't really say this, we had him on, what was the last time we had Huggy in person? 4 years ago at the Final Four?
Yeah, maybe three. It was a while.
I mean,
yeah.
We didn't go to the Final Four a year ago, nor did they even have one 2 years ago. So it had to be three, maybe 4 years ago. And I don't think that he communicated this radical, in my opinion, this radical idea. But I wish he would have when we had him on because, man, I would have loved to debate the merits of this with him in person. Like Huggy, hate this idea. So he raised some eyebrows. There was a suggestion he made at the Big 12 Media Day, all right, that college basketball's major conferences should split from the other schools and create their own postseason tournament. Hmm. Okay, quote, they're doing it in football. Why wouldn't they do it? The presidents and ADs that have all the juice, why wouldn't they do it? Makes no sense why they wouldn't do it. I think it's more why wouldn't they than why wouldn't they? Or you know what I mean? Why wouldn't they versus why would they? And then the other people, they can have their own. They can have their own tournament. Those Cinderella schools are putting, what, 200 people at best in their gym? We're putting 14,000. Okay. See, this is the problem. Now, we can argue the merits of the money.
Yeah.
And
well, I mean, the facts of what he's saying are actually true. That they're only putting a couple hundred people in some of these gyms and 14,000. I mean, he also goes on to talk about how college football has these like these rights deals for TV, which is where why they make so much money. Right, the college football playoff doesn't really make money for the NCAA, whereas it's the opposite for college basketball, where all of the money comes from either a regional network, if you have one, but it's probably not that significant, but most of the money comes from the NCAA tournament, mm-hmm. where they make hundreds of millions of dollars. So he wants that hundreds of millions of dollars to be maximized by having the best talent every single year.
At what expense? The expense of the purest, best sporting event we have as American sporting fans?
Yeah.
Why the hell does Bobby Huggins care about the money? He's getting $8 million. He's getting $5 million a year, rightfully so, to coach.
It's a good question.
They're not going to get the money.
It's a good
Why
question.
Is Bobby Huggins messing around with the spirit of the best thing we have?
That's a good question. I don't know. I mean, maybe he's looking for the think about the viability of the sport. And it, like from his school specifically, you know,
I got news for you. With all the one and duns and the try, I mean, a lot of these mid majors come in with senior laden teams.
Yeah,
they kind of make the tournament at this point. Spirit, the essence.
Yeah, you're right.
Of the whole event is the possibility of the unknown.
I agree.
It's what makes it so charming.
Yeah.
Stop with this, Bobby.
Even though most of the champions are blue bloods.
Understood. I understand that. Listen, I mean, Butler made two Final Fours. Somewhat recently. You know, UConn made it after they left the Big East when they were in the AAC. Yep. Now they're back with the Big East. George Mason made it back in the early, mid-2000s. I mean, we've seen VCU's run with Shaka.
Mm-hmm.
Shaka Khan. Let me tell you, Shaka Khan.
We don't get Shaka Smart to get the Shaka Khan started.
Bob, I know. Bobby, worry about your own team and worry about your own conference. Do not worry about the bean counters that don't give a rat's behind about you.
Yeah, I mean, I think the biggest thing that would be lost is the opportunity for some small school, whatever it may be, to have a shot. Like, you don't want to deny them the shot.
But that's what he's saying.
And in order for me to stay true to how I believe this parallels to college football, I hate the fact that the college football playoff, and I've been saying this for years, is only four teams, right? Because there are these group of five schools who, yeah, I mean, they may get blown out. They may get their doors blown off when they get into the you know, the semifinal round of the college football playoff, say if there's like four rounds instead of two, like they may get their doors blown off when they get to that semifinal round. But aren't we seeing that anyways, right? Don't we see Alabama or Clemson blow the doors off of someone else anyways, right? So like you're excluding these smaller schools from the opportunity simply because you don't want to see them get beat badly. But these guys are getting beat badly anyway, so what's the difference? right? So I believe that mid-majors in college basketball deserve the right to win a national championship, just like I believe the group of five in college football teams, like Cincinnati this year, deserve a right to try to win a national championship. So it would be disingenuous if I agreed with Bobby Huggins, because then I'd be saying, yeah, you know what they do right now in college football, where it's the same four teams, or at least similarly conference teams, are the only ones that have a chance to win a national championship. Mm-hmm. It just feels illegitimate, even though it's not.
It's a great point. I mean, listen, the one common denominator, because to me this is where it ends, outside of you wearing a jersey with your school name across it, the only denominator between college football and college basketball is the pursuit of money. That's where it ends. There's nothing directly. There is nothing else. I look at the two sports as like the unpredictable nature of the NCAA tournament is what has fueled basketball fans forever.
That's right.
And I'm very disappointed in Bobby Huggins to weigh in.
I just don't know
so recklessly.
Why did this come up?
I have no idea. And I got news for Bobby Huggins. There is a secondary tournament. It's called the NIT.
That's right.
It already exists. Nobody gives a rat's ass about
it. That's right.
So, I mean, let me just pop. All right. So let me see here. So I understand. I'm looking for last year. I understand, like, Liberty and the Winthrops and the Hofstras and the Northern Kentuckys.
This is last year's NCAA tournament. Last year, gotcha.
Oops. And the Bradleys and the Utah States and the Robert Morrises from the NECs and the Belmonts and the BUs, the Terrier Santers Old School, North Dakota State. I understand that the general public during the months of November until March doesn't know where these schools are.
Yeah.
They don't know how they're doing. They don't know who their coach is. I don't even know who some of these coaches are, to be honest with you.
That's right.
They don't know who's leading the conference. But I'll tell you this, when CBS or True TV or TBS flickers up on that upper third, Winthrop's beating North Carolina by 8 points with 3 minutes into the second half, click. It's the most fascinating exchange of emotions that we have.
Yeah, no, you're
right. I don't know why an old schooler like Bobby Huggins is trying to torpedo, and I know this is repetitive, but I'm going to keep saying it. The best thing, I know it's subjective, but for me, the best thing that we have as American sports fans.
Yeah.
Because it's not one day. It's not one event. It's a multi-day, multi-week event that is incredibly unpredictable and exciting, and I love it, and Bobby Huggins needs to stop tripping.
Yeah.
What up, Samther?
What was the context that this was asked in? You know, I mean, why did this come up?
I don't know, but I mean, we've seen these media days. It's kind of like Super Bowl media day where just people are asking crazy questions.
Yeah, of course.
I would assume, and I can't confidently talk about why it was brought up, but what I do know is because of the pandemic, when the tournament was canceled, there was a lot of conversation about the validity and the future of college basketball, how much money they're making. Like, when football was going through what they were going through, college football, no one was ever saying, oh man, college football is not going to be able to sustain long term. There's always so much money. But there was issues with college basketball where, if without the NCAA tournament, college basketball, legitimately, these teams, these programs, these conferences have a hard time putting an entire season together. They need the tournament to survive.
It's like they're living paycheck to paycheck.
Exactly. They're living tournament to tournament. And I think what's happening is these conferences, these teams, these programs start to realize this in a way they never really fully understood when they lost the 2019 or the 2020 NCAA tournament. And I think what a lot of these coaches are starting to say is, listen, I know we're going to lose out on some of these mid-majors. I know we're going to lose out on some of these great Cinderella stories that we all love. But for the validity and for the future of our sport, from a financial standpoint, we won't be able to survive.
You mean viability?
Viability
more than validity. Viability.
Not validity. You're correct, 100%.
Viability. Because if the NCAA tournament hadn't happened this year for whatever reason, COVID, whatever,
programs would have been canceled.
Exactly.
Schools would have lost their basketball teams forever.
Yeah.
We saw some already fold during that 1 year. Imagine it happened again. And I think that, listen, I love the Cinderella stories in the round of 64, even in the round of 32. I love it. But when it comes to the Sweet 16, the Elite Eight, the Final Four, and the championship game, I want Duke. I want Gonzaga. I want UNC.
But why?
Because throughout the entire year, we've been following Zion Williamson, or we've been following Cade Cunningham. We've been following the best recruits, the biggest names, the highest profile talent. You want to see great players do great things. And as great as UMBC was, being a 16 seed beating a 1, I couldn't name a single player on that team then or now. So I didn't care.
But let me stop you for one sec, though. While you couldn't name any players, and I get that, I would like you to identify a more interesting, amazing sporting event that calendar year than that game.
Sure. That one.
That's what matters.
Sure.
Yeah.
That one game was great. It's historic, and Tiki's team was able to overcome it and win a title the next year. It was great. I love that part of it. But when we're talking about the NCAA tournament, we all say it every year. We love Cinderella's in the first round, maybe two. But when it comes down to the rest of the tournament, we want the blue bloods. We want the big coaches. We want the big names. We want the big programs. That's what we want.
But I think we only say that because those teams aren't actually good, right? They got lucky. So they get to the next round.
Exactly.
Or down the line.
And that's what Huggins is saying.
But what happens if these teams are actually good, right? What if they hang – like let's face it. Gonzaga is a mid-major. You know what I mean? It's not because they have a great coach, and he recruits the hell out of the country. He's very specific with the people that he brings there, and they're specific about wanting to go there. So even though it's a mid-major, it plays like a big boy, right? They're almost a blue blood.
I think they are at this point.
I think you're right, BT. And so, but if they were just average when they got into the tournament, we wouldn't care as much.
Mm-hmm.
We care because they're good. So I think if you exclude teams like that, because they don't draw, right? Then all of a sudden, they're never going to get good.
Yeah.
It makes them upwardly mobile to give them the opportunity. Maybe some kid who from Maryland is a 5-star recruit and a stud. His mom and dad went to UMBC. He sees them in the NCAA tournament, beat Virginia. He's like, you know what? Screw it. I'm not going to go to Kentucky. I can get to the league anyways. I'm going to go to UMBC.
Well, it's not that's never going to happen.
You know what I mean? But
that's a bit of a reach.
In theory, that could happen.
In theory, I guess.
So, I mean.
See, the only problem that I have with what Santa was saying, you know, Mike, that sounds good, and you presented it, you know, reasonably well, but that expired 20 years ago, dude. I'm not saying that there are no blue bloods. They're obvious, and we know who they are. And even though Kentucky was down, we know about Duke, we know about Carolina. Hopefully Hubert Davis does a good job, blah, blah, blah. All right, Syracuse, Jim Boeheim, we know who they are, right? Tom Izzo, Michigan State. But because there are so many one-and-dones at these blue bloods, the blue bloods are not nearly as interesting as they used to be. So yeah, we romanticize what they – like the Georgetown Hoyas.
I don't even know the blue bloods.
With Michael Jackson, yeah, and obviously Ewing and Wingate and Reggie Williams and Big John May, rest in peace. Like that's a blue blood that you watch for 3-4 years play. You every iteration of Duke the next year, it's a completely new cast. So it's not the same. God, I'm disappointed in Huggy. I hate what he said. I denounce it. Third hour coming up. Tiki and Tierney, NBA.
Oh, such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, a Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 40% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 40% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.